This is Dean Gocher. I'm founder and director of the Institution for Authority Research. I encourage you to trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. Let Him be the one who directs your paths. That's Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. And this program is about a process I call DiaPrax, which is simply the practice or the praxis of dialectic thinking. Dialectic is simply two or more. It's opinions. Coming to a common ground, a consensus, finding commonism. And that commonism that we can only find in human nature is to approach pleasure and avoid pain. The Bible says, all this of the world, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. See, we're to trust in the Lord with all our heart, and take captive every thought to the obedience of Christ. Who is he obedient to? His Heavenly Father. But this dialectic process says we must practice theory. Praxis, dialectic reasoning. In other words, lean to our own understanding. Evaluate our lives and the world around us from our human nature rather than evaluating our lives and the lives of those around us from God's Word. It's one or the other, because God's Word is revealed. It is not of human nature. It is not a product of man approaching pleasure, avoiding pain. So I want to continue with the issue of brainwashing, which is washing from the brain the Father's authority, the Father's commands, which God's command is to love. Okay, we can't love as God loves, because our love is always to the object that stimulates the dopamine, the gratifying object. So as Hegel would say, purposiveness without purpose and lawfulness without law. What he meant by that is the purpose of life then is not the object itself. The value of the object is only found in the dopamine or the pleasure it stimulates. So you really have no value in yourself unless you can stimulate dopamine or pleasure in the world around you. And lawfulness without law, the law would be from the Father, but lawfulness is now that feeling of law that comes, which comes with human nature, which is within you. And Paul writes about Romans in Romans 7 about that law of the flesh. So all that's of the world, lust, flesh, lust, the eyes, pride of life, is the only foundation for dialectic reasoning. So that's the praxis of the theory, of the opinions of men. Because in an opinion and in the dialoguing, there is no Father's authority. There's no contrition, repentance, salvation. There is no, thus saith the Lord, it is written. It is simply how you feel, what you think, that you're trying to find in common with others. Because what drives us, and I have to qualify this in that God, I meet people who say that they don't need anyone. Well, I would say, well, you're making God a liar. You're a liar. Because God said, it is not good that man be alone. So we do need relationship. It is a big part of our life, but it cannot be the only part of our life, because we are to deny ourselves personally, and then and only then can you pick up your cross, which means you're willing to face the rejection of everyone on the face of the earth, because your relationship with God, with the Lord, with the Father, through the Holy Spirit, is all that you find that there is love and joy and peace in. It's not in this world. You're in it, but you're not of it anymore. You're in Him. And so you find your the meaning of life is His working, His perfect will out through your life. Picking up with Kurt Lewin, he writes again in Human Relations and Curriculum Change, edited by Kenneth Bonet. Whenever change is planned, one must make sure that the new condition will be stable. What he means by this is the traditional Marxists under Lenin simply said, Marx said this and do this and don't do that. And so they carried a traditional structure. When the Politburo and the Soviet systems, the Soviets were simply the diverse group of citizens dialoguing. That was a public-private partnership, because some were in government and some were the local workers and shop leaders and whatnot. They were dialoguing, which negates instantly the czar, negates the Louis the 16th, negates the father's authority, and so they were dialoguing to a consensus. They feeling once so that everybody would feel good about the outcome over social issues, which tied it to the world in a facilitated meeting. That's the Soviet system. You had to have a facilitator there because it would be the tendency of one strong person to take over control of the meeting. You know, he would say, I'm right and you're all wrong. And if he had more force, more people supporting him than others, then there would be this in-group, out-group developing. And that's with Stalin. So the traditional Marxists were classified by the transformational Marxists as fascists. And so the issue was, okay, once we have social change, how can we maintain it? Because it's man's tendency to go back to this top-down system. That's what Kurt Lewin is saying here. Whenever change is planned, one must make sure that the new condition will be stable. In other words, there will be a continued praxis of the dialectic process. They won't go back to didactic. Even saying Marx is right and you're all wrong is didactic. It's not to study Marx, it's to be Marx. See, to praxis change. So he said, we need to develop in our analysis as clear a picture as possible of the forces which will exist when the new condition is achieved. So we've looked at in the past program of the identifying the forces that were driving forces, and that would be the positive, the human relationship forces, can't we all get along forces, social cause forces, communist forces, and the restraining forces would be the negative forces, the father who comes in and says, this is right, that's not, or the child who comes in and his position is only in the father. He has no opinion of his own. So he just said, dad says. And that would restrain harmony, unanimity in that meeting, would prevent consensus. Now, the Iron Mountain, that whole issue was about how you can produce consensus and still have a minority report. Because you do need the engineer. And so we don't want to really shoot him because he's the only guy who makes the thing work. So how can we make it appear to everybody that hears about that meeting that there was consensus? Well, have a minority report. And so there was trickery to because it's all about perception, all about seems to be. Bible says there's a way that seems to be. That's perception of man. That's perceived to be right, but the end thereof is death. Then Kurt Lewin writes, the method which we have discussed here is a general method which can be applied to any problem of changing human behavior. So you can change the human behavior from the top-down structure, patriarchal paradigm of the person in the room, to the heresiarchal equality paradigm by methods. And that's just, again, Bloom's taxonomy was taxonomizing, classifying of different classroom environments to produce the desired outcome. Of course, the whole work was wrapped around creating classrooms that would negate the patriarchal top-down environment. So he's saying this method, this general method, general systems theory, can be applied to every institution, every situation. Now he says it supplies a framework for problem solving. So the National Training Laboratories, Bethel, Maine was the first one. It had relations with Tavistock in England. Was all about how can we practice creating a system to solve crisis, to solve problems, a policy setting environment where that everyone in that room would be changed. No matter the problem, the objective was not solving the problem itself. See, the object has no value. Purposiveness without purpose. It was the outcome that everybody was doing the same process. So in the Soviet system, you had a diverse group, dialogue into consensus. You can't have one over. You have to have a diverse group, dialogue into consensus, equality, to a oneness, a feeling of oneness, over social issues, materialize them in a facilitated meeting. You need the expert in there to make sure that it doesn't, and it will, naturally fall back to a top-down system, to a predetermined outcome. Now, what would that predetermined outcome be? Is that everybody in that room would accept that this is the only procedure that they should use to solve crisis, to solve problems, whether in the home. In the home, you'd get all the kids together, ask them how they feel, what do they think. See, in counseling, you get the husband, wife, children. There would be a complete negation of the top-down system from beginning to end in setting policy. See, when a dad tells a child you can't do something and it threatens to chasing him, that's setting policy. That environment is teaching that child this is the right procedure to determine what's right and wrong. So the consensus process was to undo that effect in everyone in the room. Didn't matter the age. Then he writes, the method can be applied to problems of changing the curriculum. In other words, the environment, the method the teacher uses in the classroom, changing pupil behavior, in other words, how they relate with one another, school-community relationships, that would be the parents, administrative problems, how the teachers and between themselves and the administrator function. So everything had to be formulated to one pattern. And once you find that pattern, and that pattern is Genesis 3, 1 through 6, first getting her odd out, I ought to be able to touch it, and then getting her to think through human reasoning, evaluating through approach pleasure, avoid pain, and the approaching pleasure was there was nothing wrong with that tree. See, God's forbidden tree wasn't a negative tree. It wasn't a tree of pain. It was a tree of pleasure. So the problem wasn't the tree. The problem was God's paradigm. It was a rational paradigm. Because if you're looking through human eyes and human ears, one author said neo-Marxist lens, then whatever you're looking at, if it makes sense to human nature, then that's good. So if the tree is good, and that's what she said, she was actually right. You know, it was good for food, pleasing the eyes, desires to make one wise. But this is a different wisdom. God said, profess and be wise, they became fools. Because in this wisdom, there is no God. They're God. They decide to evaluate the world around them according to how they feel and what they think. They become, in essence, righteous in and of themselves, thinking there is no Father. Now, that's the lie of the dialectic, is that there's a synthesis. Thesis would be the child, just the individual. Antithesis would be the father of the child. Synthesis is there's no Father. There is a Father. There is a God. You can jump out of a plane 20,000 feet, you don't believe in God, or you don't believe in, gravity. You know, as long as you're falling, you're okay. But eventually you're hitting an object. And at that moment, it won't matter how you feel or what you think. Your opinion won't count. You can say, well, I don't believe there's a God. Every breath you take has been a direct gift from Him. That next breath you take, He gave it to you. He alone gave it to you. Nothing in the creation gave it to you. You might say, well, I don't agree with that. Fine. There's going to come a day you're going to take your last breath. You're going to be struggling to take it. But that'll be it. No more. And on that day, you're meeting God. That time, you're meeting Him. You're meeting an object. And your opinion won't count. But God, I just don't believe every breath I ever took was a gift from You. It won't matter. Your opinion doesn't count. So there is no synthesis. It's a deception. It's a lie. It's our ought to be justified in our own eyes. Which, if you justify your oughta, shoulda, mighta, coulda, which can only come as a result of Dad saying you can't. And what you want to do is to be at one with nature, be at one with the world. See, that's lust, flesh, lust, the edge of our life. Is not of the Father, but is of the world. And you see, the lusts and the world are passing away. But your soul is forever. You're going to meet God and be held accountable for your thoughts and your actions. Were you evaluating your life and the world around you from your own feelings? Or were you evaluating the world and your life from others' feelings and thoughts? Or were you evaluating your life and the world around you from God's Word? See, it's really just one of two. You either evaluate from what God says, or you evaluate God and His creation from what you think and how you feel. Now, that's all tied to brainwashing. Because again, brainwashing is simply, it's this simple. Yeah, you can read all those books on brainwashing, but it's as simple. There's just no father's authority in your brain anymore. See, the father gives you sovereignty. Sovereignty, this is mine, not yours. When the father tells you you can't do something, he's saying, in essence, this is mine, not yours. When God told Adam he couldn't eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, he's saying, this is mine, not yours. Even though he didn't even eat of it, it was still his jurisdiction. You can give a toy to your child, and they can put it up and never play with it. Another child wants to go play with it. Well, you know, gee, it's just sitting there. You never play with it. You can't. It's mine, not yours. Yes. And in that, you learn then, if you accept that, then you learn it's yours, not mine. So your child could go down the street and see a bike sitting there. He's always wanted that bike, and he won't. Nobody's around. He could take it. But he recognizes it's somebody else and not mine. And how did he get that? He got that with a guilty conscience, because the conscience comes from the father. The father says, this is mine and not yours. Is and not. 2 + 2 = 4. Cannot be any other number. There's right and there's wrong. Do what's right. Don't do what's wrong. And so the whole dialectical process is a brainwashing process. They call it re-education, to re-experience life without the father's restraint, without the negative people in the room. So I'm going to read now the definition of brainwashing. Now this was, and I probably won't finish this, maybe I will in this hour. But this was by Warren Bennis and Edgar Sheen. And Warren Bennis is a huge name in the development of this. Wrote several works on the planning of change. They write in this work, Interpersonal Dynamics, Essays in Reading on Human Interaction. But this section on brainwashing is a technical definition of brainwashing. Now, I'm not saying you go out and tell people they've been brainwashed. It's just that you would understand what it is. And there's a consequence to it, is that when you had soldiers that were brainwashed, they would not recognize the sovereignty of their nation. They wouldn't recognize the father's authority. The same system, that the same reaction that you get from children who have been in the Bloom's taxonomy classroom, and the teachers as well. The parents might come in and they talk to them, but they don't have an honoring of that office. See, there's no love for the words and fear of the office themselves. The office itself is irrelevant. The school system takes on the role of the parent. And then, of course, they'll say, well, the parents, whenever the kids get in trouble, then it's the parents' fault, because they never want to take blame. It's like, hello, listen to this. Oh, it's not my fault. It's the woman's fault. I mean, that anybody who thinks dialectic, that's how they're going to do it. You know, they want to control everything until it doesn't work, and then it's not my fault, it's their fault. And that's how educators in the dialectic process will treat. It's the parents' fault, it's somebody else's fault, Byron. You're not giving us enough money. Sort of Hitler sulking in his bunker. You guys just weren't out there supporting me enough. And I'll get to that, by the way. Kurt Lewin actually, let's see if it's in this quote or not. No, it's not in this one. Let me go back to the other one since I brought it up. Kurt Lewin writes, a hierarchy of leaders has to be trained which reach out into all essential subparts of the group. Hitler himself has obviously followed very carefully such a procedure. Wow. The democratic process will have to be as thoroughly and as solidly based on group organization. And so they were looking at how Hitler did things. To replicate it, just go global, not national. Don't be traditional Marxist, be transformational Marxist. Notice it was transformational outcome-based education, not traditional. So, beginning. Which time? We got a little to get started here. The matter in which the prisoner came to be influenced to accept the communist definition of his guilt can best be described by distinguishing two broad phases. In other words, I want you to feel guilty for your behavior. Number one, this is going to sound familiar. Now, this is the official method of brainwashing. Number one, a process of unfreezing, in which the prisoner's physical resistance, social and emotional supports, self-image and sense of integrity, and basic values and personality were undermined. Now, that's a mouthful, but here's how it works. In which the prisoners, now you wouldn't see your child as a prisoner, but in a way they are. They have to sit in that classroom. His prisoner's physical resistance. He can't resist. See, if you resist the system, then you're not going to, even a consensus meeting, why would you as an adult buck the system when everybody in that room does business for you? And if you don't, you know, if you make them all upset with you, you're going to lose your business. You are physically, and they will actually take school board members or, you know, elected people off for a weekend seminar. And remove them from direct contact, from support, outside of that group experience. This literally happens today. Somebody tells you, okay, you know, we're just going to come together and we're just going to put aside the world. We're going to put aside all everything in the past, your family, everything, and we're just going to focus on this experience together. You are a prisoner. You might not realize that, but you are. In which the prisoner's physical resistance, you can't resist or you lose your job. I'm talking about this user-friendly form of brainwashing. Social and emotional supports. Because even your friends in that meeting won't support you. You can't call somebody outside and say, hey, this is what's going on. What do I do? And, you know, and get support from them. They might not even understand the subtlety of it. They might think you're overreacting. That's everybody thinks this. Oh, you're just overreacting. And your emotional support. So not only are your friends not supporting you, but you have no emotional support as well. Now, the key to the early church was somebody put Christians and believers on crosses and threw them to lions, and so there was an emotional reaction because the believer would glorify God in the midst of all the pain. They wouldn't run away from the pain. They would just glorify God in the midst of it. But in this process, they learned, okay, we're not going to physically martyr you. We're just going to use a system that gives you no emotional support. Been there? Been through this? That's brainwashing. Self-image. Now you begin to question yourself. Because self is either tied to your father or to the group. There's no identity in self. That's why people kill themselves. It's easy for some people to kill themselves because they're caught between the father, the top down, the authority above, and the group, the world, which says you can do whatever you want to do, the father who restrains you, and they can't decide to go either way, and there is no identity in self. This is why prisoners would play the piano. You remember the teacher who was disciplined, disciplined, practice, 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 just to keep their minds active and away from giving up. So your self-image and sense of integrity. See, because you've lost the father in all this, and you're caught between the father, and you don't want to go with the group because you know that's wrong. And so now you have no integrity. Your father's not there. You can't call your constituents. You're in a subcommittee in private. If you're a board member of a school district, you're in that private meeting, that convention, that conference over there somewhere where you're detached from your support system of your tradition. And so you lose this sense of integrity, of importance. Who am I? You begin to question your own identity. And then your basic values and personality are undermined. Notice how this sequentially gets further and further down to your very soul. You lose your social and then your emotional, then your self-image and sense of integrity and basic values and personality. They're all undermined. Your child sitting in my class learning this process, have you ever been told to do something you didn't want to do? might not want to participate at first, but he learns very quickly with a group grade that if he doesn't participate, everybody else will be punished. So his sense of integrity is broken. His basic values and personality are undermined. You cannot do this process without doing this to everyone in the room. Therefore, creating a state of quote unquote readiness to be influenced. That's unfreezing. And they have the audacity to just speak, oh, we're just going to do a little unfreezing in here, little icebreakers. But there is a stress. There is an anxiety. There is a tension. There's a destruction of the soul that takes place in the midst of that experience. You know, we would say, well, that would be a cruel nation that would do such a thing on people. Well, you don't have to look very far to see a nation doing that on its own people, its own legislators, on its own teachers, on its own parents. See, it's on its ministers, on its congregations, on its board meetings, in its businesses, with the police and the military. You want to climb in rank, you better play the game. Your basic values and personalities is going to be undermined. Thereby, you're going to be readied to be influenced, influences of the flesh. Persuading is what God does. He doesn't influence you. He persuades. Do right, don't do wrong. Influences, manipulate. That's unfreezing. And then too, he says, a perspective would provide him a solution to the problems created by the prison pressure. Now, let me go back. I missed a part. A process of change. Heard that word change recently? Anytime a minister says, we're going to practice change, we're going to facilitate changing here, listen to this. This is what he's doing. A process of change in which the prisoner discovered how the adoption of the people's standpoint and a reevaluation of himself from this perspective would provide him a solution to the problems created by the prison pressure. Negate the father's authority in the people, in the children. In that stress, they will look for identity and then promise them change by discovering that the adoption of the people's standpoint wasn't the people's republic. The fellowship, the unity of the fellowship now determines what's right and wrong. Not doctrine. Got it turned around. And then you begin to reevaluate yourself from the people's standpoint. What will the church think? What will the group think? No longer, what does God's word say? Period. So that's the unfreezing and the changing. And then he explains, most were put into a cell. That's a group. That's the consensus group. Bible say, it doesn't matter where you go. If you're using this process, this is how it works. Most were put into a cell containing several who are further along in reforming themselves and saw it as their primary duty to, quote, help their most backward member to see the truth about himself in order that the whole cell might advance. You following this? This is the mega church out there. This is why when you share the truth with people, they glaze over, deer in a headlight look. Because they've been processed. And I'm not saying condemn them. When they're caught by themselves, you know, just share what the Lord tells you to share with them. And the Holy Spirit will work in their lives if they're willing to listen. Some people are wanting out. But they're learning they have to reject the group. All my friends have no friends. You just learn that you must be willing to stand alone if that's what's necessary. I'd rather stand alone with the Lord than be approved by all the men of the world, or even a handful. Doesn't matter. Just even one. Approval of God is more important than the approval of men. Your eternal life or death depends upon which one you choose. So again, most children put into a group grade, I just say most were put into a cell containing several who are further along in reforming. That's the mapping of the room. I have to make sure I've got several who are in this room, transitional students moving to transformation, that already know how to play the game. They're already intoxicated with it because it's such a dopamine moment, the consensus. You can't wait to come back. And they've already sold their soul to the process, incrementally growing in knowledge of how to apply it. And now they're going to help me to put pressure on this one person. You think pressure? Well, it's open and non-directed, but it's pressure because anytime he brings a can out, must not, thou shalt not, the group will become irritated. They won't want to hear that. And so he sensed their rejection of him. Their primary duty to help their most backward member. That's how you're seen. You go into the churches today with the Word of God, you're just a barnacle to the ship of progress. You're just a backward person. You just don't understand. And the objective is to see the truth about himself and that in order the whole cell might advance. We need you to advance. No, you need Christ. Period. And this thing of advancing, what does that mean? Does that mean we create God's kingdom here on earth? No. To thine be the kingdom, power, and the glory. It's his kingdom. It's his power. It's his glory. See, there are those who say God hasn't done anything without a man. Let me tell you something. You say that to God on the day of judgment, there's going to be a big flash. I mean, big consuming moment. You know, bright light as you disintegrate into nothing. No, you don't stand before God and say, you couldn't do it without me. You can't do a thing before God until you're dead. He does it through you. And he won't do it through you glorying in your flesh. That's all you've got. That's all you have. Lust of your flesh, lust of the eyes, and pride of life. Until you're dead in Christ. And in him, then, his Father can work his glory. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Simply means, Dad, you work your perfect will through me as you did your son. As you do your perfect will through your angels who obey you. You overcome the enemy, blood of the Lamb, the work Christ has done, the word of your testimony, what he's doing in you today. And you love not this life to the death. Not this process, no. You got to be concerned about the unity of the fellowship, Mother Church. This is Catholic in the Protestant. Protestant Reformation is gone. The Protestant Church has been reabsorbed by Catholicism, the Mother Church, the group, the unity, the group think. So you have to evaluate yourself from the group's perspective. The church can't grow. We can't do it without you. We need you. Well, that's the pimp talking to his prostitutes. You know, as long as they're willing to cooperate. Yeah, there's ministers pimping from the pulpit. That's what they're doing. Each such cell had a learner who was in close contact with the authorities for purposes of reporting on the cell's progress and getting advice on how to handle the Western member. The environment undermined the client's self-image. Again, these were men who studied how brainwashing was done on our soldiers to do it in every classroom. That's not just in the grade schools and high schools, but in the workplace, in government, every facet of our society. If you can find the one little pattern, you can practice this system, every institution. What's that pattern? Genesis 3, 1 through 6. Once this process of self-evaluation began, the client received all kinds of help. Once you start to show that you're willing to sell your soul to the beast, you're going to get the village's approval. You're going to get the collective voice giving you a group hug. We're going to have celebration. And support from the cellmates, and once again was able to enter into meaningful emotional relationship with others. The Chinese have drawn on their cultural sensitivity to the nuances of interpersonal relationship to put together some highly effective but well-known techniques of indoctrination. Their sophistication about the importance of small group as a mediator of opinions and attitudes has led to some highly effective techniques of destroying group solidarity, in other words, your loyalty to the group, that nationalism, in other words, as in the case of the POWs and others using groups as a mechanism of changing attitudes, as in political prisoners. Well, again, I'm 5 minutes over time, so I'll just take off hopefully 5 minutes off the next presentation and finish up this section on brainwashing.